Hello, and welcome to Sekahan. Today, Trump's birth tourism ban, two executive orders, and why only one of them is a legal gamble. On August 6, 2026, President Trump signed two executive orders limiting birthright citizenship. The first bars federal agencies from issuing citizenship documents for children born in the United States when neither parent is a citizen and the birth falls into certain categories. The second defines entering the country to give birth as birth tourism and directs officials to block it. One piece of context first. The United States grants citizenship by place of birth. Born on U.S. soil, you are a citizen. Most of the world, including Japan and much of Europe, ties citizenship to the parents instead. These orders try to carve an exception into that founding rule by executive action alone. That is the news. Here are the three questions I want to ask. 1. How big a problem is birth tourism, really? 2. What is actually new in these two orders? 3. Can a parent's conduct cost a child their citizenship? I will come back to all three at the end of the video. First, what the two orders actually say. The first order lists four categories of U.S.-born children who would be denied citizenship documents. Alien enemies, defined as members of designated foreign terrorist organizations. Foreign government employees, ambassadors, embassy, and consular staff. Births obtained through a commercial transaction or through fraud intended to secure citizenship. And births in U.S. territories and waters where federal law does not confer citizenship. One detail matters. The order describes this list as non-exhaustive. It is not necessarily the end of the list. The second order defines birth tourism as entering on a non-immigrant visa for the purpose of giving birth and facilitating that entry. The Secretaries of State and Homeland Security may block entry, refuse and revoke visas, impose permanent inadmissibility, and pursue removal. The businesses that arrange these trips are targeted too. Agencies have 30 days to issue implementation guidance, so how this actually operates is still being written. Here is the crucial background. This is the administration's second attempt. On day one of his term, in January 2025, President Trump signed a similar order. On June 30, 2026, the Supreme Court held it unconstitutional in Trump v. Barbara, with six justices concurring in the judgment. The new order narrows the categories, a retry with a tighter aim. And 5 days after the signing, the ACLU and other groups filed to block it. The case landed before the same federal judge who ruled for the plaintiffs last time. Where does "born here means citizen" come from? It is a rule written to settle slavery. The Citizenship Clause of the 14th Amendment was ratified in 1868, 3 years after the Civil War ended. Before the war, the Supreme Court had ruled in Dred Scott that people of African descent could not be citizens. The amendment reversed that, writing into the Constitution itself that freed people's citizenship could never be taken away again. In the congressional debates, the children of non-citizen immigrants were understood to be included from the start. The Supreme Court confirmed that reading in 1898 in United States v. Wong Kim Ark. Wong Kim Ark was born in San Francisco to Chinese parents who were barred from naturalizing under the Chinese Exclusion Act. The court held that it made no difference. Born in the United States, he was a citizen from the moment of his birth. The exceptions the court identified were narrow: children of diplomats and foreign sovereigns, a hostile occupying force. What they share is that U.S. law did not completely reach the parents. None of them was a penalty for anything a parent had done. Hold on to that distinction. It is the key to the analysis later. How unusual is the American rule? Unconditional birthright citizenship is a minority rule worldwide. Just over 30 countries have it, and most are in the Americas: Canada, Mexico, Brazil among them. Japan ties citizenship to the parents. Germany and Australia use conditional, in-between rules. And some countries have ended it, Ireland removed unconditional birthright citizenship by referendum in 2004, with about 79% in favor. Australia narrowed its rule by legislation in 1986. The same change, made by referendum or by statute. Keep that in mind, too. Question 1. How big is birth tourism? The honest answer is that nobody knows. A restrictionist think tank estimates 20,000 to 26,000 births a year. The CDC counted about 9,500 births to mothers resident abroad in 2024, which is not the same thing as birth tourism. And a center that reviewed the think tank's methodology puts the real figure under 2,000. The definitions differ, so the numbers cannot be compared directly, but they give a sense of scale. The United States records about 3.6 million births a year. Even the highest estimate is under 1% of that. And here is the underreported fact. Entry has been restricted for 6 years already. A State Department rule that took effect in January 2020 explicitly excluded travel, whose primary purpose is giving birth for citizenship, from the definition of tourism. It even created a presumption. An applicant the consular officer believes will give birth during the visit is presumed to be traveling for that purpose, unless they prove otherwise. The rule does not reach travelers from visa waiver countries, about 40 countries, Japan among them. So a visa stage mechanism already exists. Keep that in mind as we look at how Reddit reacted. President Trump signed two orders on birthright citizenship and on r/immigration. A forum full of visa and green card practitioners, the thread filled up fast. The tone had a distinctive split. Skepticism about the orders, legal force dominated, but mixed with genuine support for cracking down on birth tourism itself. Enforce the rules at the border, but the child's citizenship is a separate question. The exact distinction this video has been drawing was happening inside the thread itself. First, the legal skepticism. An executive order is neither a wish nor a law. Unfortunately, Congress is asleep, and has been for 20 years, the reply adds. Others read the strategy. Push to the limit first, and if that fails, bring out something more likely to stick. It's their usual playbook. And then the voice drawing the line between the two orders. Trying to stop birth tourism? Fine. But if they made it here and the baby was born here, that child is a citizen, born while the parents were under U.S. jurisdiction. The same thread piled up questions about enforcement. How is a visa officer supposed to tell whether a woman is pregnant? Pregnancy tests at U.S. embassies? Ever heard of premature birth? Another asked. Someone with no plan to give birth in the U.S. can still end up in a delivery room. And the harshest verdict. The order's language is too broad to actually define birth tourism. Even if the concern is real, this is an empty shell that stops nothing. Now the analysis. Question 2. What is actually new here? The answer, these two orders are not the same story. The birth tourism order, the one carrying the headline, is largely an extension of the 2020 rule. Stronger enforcement, yes, but built on existing authority. The genuine gamble is the other one, denying citizenship to children already born. Regulating a parent's travel and negating a child's citizenship differ in target and in reach. Read the two orders as one birth tourism package, and the second, more radical half, disappears from view. The lawsuit, accordingly, centers on the citizenship order, the retry of a line the Supreme Court rejected weeks earlier. Question 3. Can a parent's conduct cost a child their citizenship? Every existing exception rests on the parent's status, being beyond the full reach of U.S. law, like diplomats. It has nothing to do with whether the parents followed the rules. The new fraud category is different in kind. It makes the parents' conduct, trying to obtain citizenship, the basis for the exception. Even conservative legal scholars are split. Some think the terrorist category could survive review, while seeing no precedent for the fraud category. And historians point to an uncomfortable echo. During World War II, Japanese immigrants were designated alien enemies. Under this framework, their U.S.-born children could have been denied citizenship. That said, predicting limitless expansion would be premature. Courts can draw lines category by category, and the case is already back before the same district court. There is also a structural problem, the word purpose. The elegance of birthright citizenship was its simplicity. The place of birth settles everything. Determining purpose, by contrast, requires someone's discretion. A student who becomes pregnant mid-degree, a premature birth on a business trip, medical travel, surrogacy, all of them turn on how an official reads intent. And open questions remain. What nationality does a denied child hold? If fraud is found after the birth, does the child's status flip? Until implementation guidance arrives, a newborn's legal status is simply undetermined at birth. One more note. The signing came 3 months before the midterms, and some read it as moving the agenda back to friendly ground while prices weigh on the polls. But promise-keeping and litigation strategy explain the timing just as well. It is a reading, not a conclusion. Let's return to the three questions. 1. The scale. Estimates differ by a factor of 10, and even the highest is under 1% of U.S. births. Visa stage restrictions have existed since 2020. 2. What's new is the order denying citizenship to children already born, a narrowed retry of the line the Supreme Court rejected in June. 3. Can a parent's conduct cost a child their citizenship? In 1868, the 14th Amendment separated a child's citizenship from the parent's status. Whether an executive order can redraw that line is now for the courts to decide. Let me close with the question underneath all of this. How far should a parent's conduct reach into a child's life? In 1868, America chose the answer least likely to breed dispute. The place of birth alone decides, whatever the parents were. Two directions now propose to redraw that line: reflect the parents, standing onto the child, or defend the simple fact of birthplace. Different countries have answered differently, and the same country answers differently across eras. The rulings the U.S. courts are about to issue will stand as one more record in that history. The full article covers the orders, text, and the complete Reddit thread. The link is in the description. Thanks for watching.